Bezras Hashem Yisbarach, today's daf is Yud Gimel Meseches Moed Katan. Our daf is going to continue the topics of the second parak, and that is those malachos that are permissible to do and those that are prohibited on Yom Tov. Particularly, we're going to continue with the topic of those things that are malachos that might be generally prohibited but permissible to do because of hefsek. For example, we'll talk about doing certain malachos to protect one's items from being stolen. That will be the topic of the first Mishnah and the analysis of the Gemara on the top of Yud-Gimel Amud Aleph. The Gemara will discuss what happens if somebody begins to do a malacha that is prohibited on Chol HaMoed. Is it prohibited for his inheritors, if he dies, to derive benefit from it? The Gemara will discuss different knasos that were made when a person did a malacha be'isr, both in terms of violating Hilchos Bechoros as well as Hilchos Shviyis. Then we will have a Mishnah on Yud-Gimel Amud Aleph that will talk about the purchases that one can make on Chol HaMoed and the purchases that are prohibited. The Gemara will talk about special dispensations for workers who are quite poor. That the poor workers, it could be that there are times that we're going to be more lenient with them. The Gemara will test the limits of that, of when we will allow workers who are very poor to work on Chol HaMoed. Then we will have a Mishnah on the bottom of Yud-Gimel Amud Aleph that will discuss moving things, the prohibition of schlepping things and moving from one place to the next on Chol HaMoed, as well as bringing an artisan's utensil from a factory on Chol HaMoed. And finally, on the last Mishnah of the Perek, the Gemara will go back to certain malachos that could be done in a field during Chol HaMoed and those that are prohibited. And we will talk about trapping animals on Chol HaMoed, as well as other issues of commerce that appear on Chol HaMoed. So, Bezer Hashem, begin the Mishnah on the bottom, Yud-Beis on the base. Machnis Adam Perosa Mepneach, an oven, 7 lines from the bottom. A person is allowed to bring in his fruits that are outside due to the fact that he is afraid that it's going to get stolen. Now, normally, it is prohibited to bring in the fruits because Tosis explains on the top of the Amud, in Dibra Maschel Machnis, that collecting fruits is a malacha, and that seems to be the position in the Gemara in Chagiga Daf Yud Ches. Tosis points out that it's not poshut what the malacha would be. Another possibility that Tosis raises is that it's just an extra tircha on Chol HaMoed. The only reason you're bringing in the fruits has nothing to do with Chol HaMoed, and therefore would be considered tircha below malacha. Tosis, though, is mesufa whether a tircha without a malacha, that's not a malacha at all, is prohibited or not, which obviously is a very, very important topic, halacha l'maisa and hilchos Chol HaMoed. So, however one explains the isser of machnas adam perosa mipnei haganavim, presumably the best answer to Tosis's first pshat of why it would be that it would be a malacha, the Rashash and the Marisham explain that it's imor, that gathering fruits together is a prohibition of imor, even though the Rashash points out that the Yisra Malich imor is only b'makom hagidol shel haperos, only where the peros grow. Either way, our Mishnah says that b'makom hesed, one will be allowed to remove them at p'nei ha'ganavim. Similarly, v'shola pishtano min hamishra, you're allowed to take out flax from where it is soaking, but shvil shelo tovad, if it will continue to soak, then it will get ruined. But there's one exception. You can't have arranged that the malacha be necessitated on Chol HaMoed. In other words, a person cannot soak his flax and say to himself, oh, I'll take it out on Chol HaMoed. You can't arrange it and say, I'm going to do something, and then when it comes Chol HaMoed, it'll be a hefsid. I'll leave the fruits out, and then it'll become a hefsid on Chol HaMoed, and then I'll bring in. And if he intends it in such a way, then of course he has to lose his money, and he is stuck. Tana begins the Gemara, 5 lines from the bottom, the only manner in which we allow the person to bring in the fruits is if he does it in a quiet way, that it should not appear as if he's doing commerce or any type of malacha on Chol HaMoed. The Gemara discusses an example of this. Rav Yosef Havelei Kishuri. Rav Yosef had different beams of wood. Ailinu bi mama. And he brought it into his house. It turns out he had to bring it in on Chol HaMoed. And he brought it in during the day. Amalei Abaye, and Abaye challenged him. Vatanya, didn't we learn, as we just mentioned above, Umavad Sheachnisim Betzinah B'Self Besa? He said, you're supposed to bring it in a quiet manner. In other words, Abaye is saying, why did you bring it in broad daylight? People will think that you're doing malacha. You should have done it at night. Amalei, Tzini Dahani Yimamahu. In this case, when it comes to the wood, it would be Betzinah, whether it would be done in the day or at night. Why? Since at night you're going to need more men to guide bringing in the wood and not banging into things. And then in such a case you're going to need more fire, and it's just going to be even more obvious to people that something is being done. During the day you could do it in a quieter manner. The Gemara continues on the bottom of your basin. We learned that you're allowed to take out the flax that had been soaking in a barrel, so that it shouldn't get ruined. The Gemara now analyzes that whole topic. Fascinating question. Boy mine Rabbi Yirmiya, Rabbi Zeira. Rabbi Yirmiya asked Rabbi Zeira the following question. Kiven melachtoi b'moyeg, umeis. What happens if the fellow was preparing the flax, violated the rule of Mishnah, and he intentionally arranged that he would take it up on Chol HaMoed? So of course, now the halacha is that he can't take it out on Chol HaMoed. But now it gets more complicated. Umes, and then he died. Ma'ush yiknis uban of acharav. Do we find his children afterwards? Imtim tzalaymar, if you're going to try to bring a proof from a fascinating shaylin hilchos bechoros, that people who try to get away and around the mitzvah of giving their bechor to the kohanim to bring as a carbon, and then the kohanim would eat it, what would they do? There were some people who put a mum in the animal. If they put a mum in the animal, so then in such a case, then it's no longer brought in as a carbon, and it's not given in to the Kohanim. So there were some people who did a mischievous deed. Sarim oizem bebechor. If someone put a blemish in the ear of the bechor, now that really doesn't hurt the value of their animal, and now they're going to sit and enjoy instead of having the opportunity of losing money, but at the same time, giving to Kodshim. But what did they do? So the halacha is, as Rashi describes, that people like that, there is a knas midrabanan that they're not allowed to have hana from the animal, and konsu b'no achrav. And also, the kids afterwards also cannot derive benefit. Maybe over there, mishum d'isur d'araisa. Over there, we're going to be machmir because there is an isur d'araisa. Over here, Rashi explains, even though on yesterday's daf, we saw that Meleches Chol HaMoed, according to the Gemara, the simple reading is that it is an Isur D'oraisa. See our introductory shir to Hilchos Chol HaMoed, as far as a big discussion of how we pass them. But the simple reading of the Bavli is that it is an Isur D'oraisa. If that would be so then why over here does the Gemara about to contrast that to Bechor, which is D'oraisa? Rashi explains that over here at Chol HaMoed, really it's Mutter because it's no longer an Isur D'oraisa because it's a Dover HaAved. Since it's a davar ha'aved, then it's mutter. Rather, Chazal put a knas on the fellow that he created this situation to make it mutter. So that's an iser d'rabbanan. We're not talking about an iser d'araisa altogether. So the fact that we constant the father, that we find the father, doesn't necessarily mean we're going to find the children because it's different than the case of Bechor. V'imtim salamar, so let's go to another case. We know that the Torah Kedusha says, the Gemara in Kedushin tells us that an Eved Kenani is not supposed to be sold back to an Ove Kochavim. So the halacha is, if someone sold his Eved to an Ove Kochavim, then in such a case, the Eved goes free. And it's a Knas, because the Yisrael will never be able to get back that Eved. And Konsum B'no Acharav. And not only that, the kids also get the knas. So maybe so too over here when it comes to Chol HaMoed. Says Gemar Mishum, the call Yoima Mafgalei Mi Mitzvahs. There, the reason why Chazal were so harsh and the Torah was so harsh is because the Eved Kenani had mitzvahs, and now by selling him to the Ovei Kochavim, he's not going to keep the mitzvahs. Hacha, but over here, my Gavra Kanis Rabban Valei. So do we say on the one hand, the knas was given to the father who was a bad guy by arranging to do malacha on Chol HaMoed, and it only applies to the father. Odilma mimona kanis rabbanan va'iseh, that was punished is his money. And the money has now been passed on to the children, but also needs to be punished as well, and therefore the kids have to allow the flax to go to waste. Amalei tini tuha. So Rabbi Zeira answered Rabbi Yirmiyah's question by saying, we learned Sada, he goes to Masechet Shviyas, Perek Dal Mishnah Beis, Sada Shniskavtza B'Shviyas. If you have a field that someone took out the thorns on Shemitah, Tizra L'Matzai Shviyas, you're allowed to plant on it on Matzai Shemitah. Nitaiva Oy Nidairu. If he put fertilizer, or he had animals go inside and relieve themselves there, and ultimately then the field is better off because now it is fertilized. Lo tizar l'matzai shviyas, then you're not allowed to use it on matzai shmita. Rashi points out that, as we've discussed already in the past, based on the Gemara in our Masechet on Daf Gimel, that fertilizing cannot be an isur daraisa. We saw that there are only four isurei daraisa on shmita. Essentially, cutting and planting both fields and vineyards. Those are the four Isurim. Fertilizing is definitely an Isur Drabbanan. Nevertheless, we see that Chazal made the Gzeira when he was Netaiva o Nedaira. Ve'amar Rabbi Yossi Ruchanin. Rabbi Yossi Ruchanin also taught Naktinan. We also learned Heitiva, if you violate the Isur Drabbanan. And now he has a Knas that he can't work his land during Matzah Shias. Umeis benoi zayra, and he dies, his son is able to plant over here. The knas is not extended to his son. Almaladidei kansula rabbanan, lebrei lo kansula rabbanan. So we see is that the rabbanan made the knas only for him and not for his son. Hachanami here too, ledidei kansula rabbanan, lebrei lo kansula rabbanan. The knas was only made for him and not for his son. Abaye now discusses another case after we got through saying that the knas goes to the father, not the son. Abaye discussed another case. Amar Abaye Naktina, we learn, Timei Tarosa. If a person made the items of his friend that were Tahar, and of course Tahar has a tremendous advantage, there were many people who were Chaverim who did not eat any foods except those that are Tahar. But certainly, if there's Truma and it becomes Tamei, can't be eaten at all. So the halacha is that midrabbanan, Rashi explains, and one has to pay one's friend back as a knas if you're metame his taharas. Umes. What happens if Reuven was metame Shimon's taharas and then he dies? Lo kansu rabbanan b'no achrav. Similarly, there was no knas on his son afterwards. My taima hezek shein nikur lo shmei hezek, because halachically, since it's not something that's tangible, the halachic change of a fruit being tar and now being tummy is not considered hezek nikar. So the didei kansu rabbanan, and therefore the knas only went for him, libre lo kansu rabbanan, but not for his son. We begin now a new Mishnah. Ein leichem badim avbatim avadim ubeheima. You're not supposed to make purchases on chalamoid for a house, for a servant, or animals. Elo letzarech hamoid. The only exception would be if it's letzarech hamoid. Oy, or another interesting exception, if the seller doesn't have what to eat, then you're allowed to make the purchase, so the seller will have something to eat. Rava followed up with this last idea of the Mishnah with an interesting question. What happens if you have a laborer? Normally you hire someone to do a particular job for you. And if you're not going to hire them over Chalamoy, they won't have food to eat. Mahu. Amarle. So Rav Nachman replied to Nina. We learned something similar in our Mishnah. It said in our Mishnah that you're allowed to buy Litzarech Moed, or if the seller doesn't have what to eat. Now explains Rashi. If the halacha is that you're allowed to buy batim avodim behema letzarech moed, letzarech moed will also include a mocher that needs food letzarech moed. So then why did it say, O letzarech hamocher, my lav lasue schar pu'ula? Must be it's coming to include a poel, that a poel as well, not only a seller who needs money, but even a worker who needs money as well. Amar lei lo. Rava did not accept Rav Nachman's response. Pirushe kamifarish, the Mishnah is just spelling out. Then another example, Tzarech HaMoed is a Meicher. But a Payel, who says, the Halacha is going to be the same. Abaye asked the following question. You're not allowed to write a shtar chov on chalamoid. You're not allowed to write a check on chalamoid. Okay, I gave the most sensational example. I'm not talking halacha l'maisa. The simple reading of the Gemara is that you can't write a shtar chov. What's a shtar chov? It says that I owe Reuven $100. V'im ein amamino. But what happens if you don't trust the person who's going to owe you money? O she'ein lo mayachal, or one of the parties don't have that which to eat. Hareze yichtov. She'ein lo mayachal asuye mai. What type of case are we talking about where he doesn't have food to eat? We already learned in our Mishnah about a seller, and Rashi tells us if we're talking about a lova, didn't we already learn im eino mamino is going to be mutter? My lav lasu yischarpu l'shma mino. So that's a proof the Gemara is happy with, that we see that if a worker does not have money, so then in such a case you're allowed to hire him, even though he's doing a malacha that normally you're not allowed to hire for. Maisa Rav Sheshes, Rav Sheshes asked the following, Kasha v'chacham mayrim, sholoi shumnuyos osim malacha varve psachim ad chatzais. There are three workers who are allowed to do their work on Erev Pesachim, on Erev Pesach until Chatzos. Hachaiton, a tailor, v'asaparin, a barber, v'akoivsin, a launderer. Hachaiton, shekein hed yitoifer kedarkoi, v'cholei shamoid. The reason why a tailor could work is because a hed yot, an amateur, is allowed to sew on chalamoid. And if, when it comes to chalamoid, which is more chomor than Erev Pesach, there are times that sewing is going to be permissible, Erev Pesach, which is more lenient, certainly even a tailor himself, which is prohibited to do on Chalamoid, would be allowed to. Hasaparin, Vakoivsin, when it comes to barbers and the wanderers, we allow them to work until Chatzos on Erev Pesach, Shekein Abam, Dina Sam Yotzim, Bezis Rum, Mutla, Saper, Lucha, Bez, Bechal, Shemoid, because someone who hasn't been able to launder or take haircut because they were in prison or they were far away, they're allowed to do an chalamoed. Certainly, Erev Pesach, which is more lenient, will also be permissible for the professionals to do it until Chatzos. Analyzes the Gemara on the first wide line. That a fellow who doesn't have food to eat is allowed to do all malachos, so then why does the Tosefim Psachim, which is quoted on Nunheim at Aleph, allow only these three professions? Shari kol malachos nami l'shri. All malachos should be permitted. Deika schar pula shein lo me'achal, because there are going to be people who don't have what to eat. So then, in such a case, says Rav Sheshes, we see that a chalamoid, even those people who don't have food to eat, cannot be employed, because if they would be able to be employed, then certainly you'd be able to employ them in Erev Pesach, and the Tosefta seems to say not that way. Maskelor, a pup asks the following question, El Miata, Binyan Lishteri, if we're going to take your logic, Rav Sheshes, so Rav Papa's asking on Rav Sheshes' kasha. So then in such a case, we should allow for building on Erev Pesach. If your logic is that any malacha that's permissible to do on Chalamoid would certainly be permissible to do on Erev Pesach, because Shekein, we learned earlier on Daf Zayin, Koysel HaGoyel Rishus HaRam, if you have a wall that's leaning into the Rishus HaRam, Slesu Barna Kedarkot, you're allowed to chop it down and build it again. Mipnei HaSakana. And if your logic is that anytime something is mutter in some instances on Chalamoid, automatically it's going to be mutter entirely on Erev Pesach, if that would be so, then we should allow for all of Erev Pesach as well for building. The fact that we don't seems to indicate that you can't just say that whatever is at times mutter on Chalamoid is automatically permissible on Pesach, and therefore you cannot infer what the halacha would be by a polal she'en lo mayachel on Chalamoid. The fact that we don't allow every poel to work on Erev Pesach doesn't mean that a poel she'en lo mayachel cannot work on Chalamoid. Maskif la Ravina, but Ravina followed up and he asked a question, also another question on Rav Sheshes. He holds like Rav Papa, Elameyata, according to Lavlar Lishteri. So for also should be allowed to work on Erev Pesach. Shekein Kaisen, Kiddushin, Nashim, Gittin, Vishovrim. We're going to see later on Daf Yud Ches that you're allowed to write a get, kedushin for a woman. You're allowed to write certain receipts, And if your logic is that anything that's permissible at any time in Chol HaMoed is automatically permissible on Erev Pesach, so then in such a case, you should allow bankers to write receipts all of Erev Pesach. And we don't see that that is permitted except for the three umnuyos, the chayta, the sapron, and the kosin. Elomer Ravashi, Sir Ravashi says the whole line of thinking of Rav Sheshis we reject. Moye darbo aser karamis, you're asking from Chol HaMoed and comparing it to Pesach, which is more lenient. Mishum tircho, the prohibition of Chol HaMoed is a prohibition of tircho. Ubimakam say the shar rabbanon, and in the case of loss, the rabbanon said it's mutter. However, arba asar, the 14th erev Pesach, mishum tzarech yom tifu. That's when we want everybody in Erev Pesach to be focusing on Yom Tov. Me did Tzarech Yom Tov Shari Rabbanan. Something that is, Tzarech Yom Tov is permissible. Me did Lav Tzarech Yom Tov Lo Shari Rabbanan. Even if it's a hefzid. If it's not Tzarech Yom Tov, we don't allow it. Hence, you cannot compare one set of halachas to the next. Hence, you cannot infer what the halacha would be in regards to a pole She'en Lo Mayi Ochel, that it would seem from Erev Pesach that it would not be permissible. However, it could very well be that at Chol HaMoed it'll still be permissible. It would seem from the Rishonim that we paskin that one could be lenient as well for a Schar Poel. We begin a new Mishnah. 7 lines from Bottom Yigimel of an Alfim. Mifanim Yibayis Labayis. You're not allowed to move things from one house to the next. Objects cannot be moved from one house to the next because it's already considered a Tircha. But you're allowed to move the object to your chatzer, period. That's not considered a tremendous tircha. Similarly, you're not allowed to bring an artisan's utensils from a factory. However, if you're concerned that they're going to get damaged or stolen, so then he could bring it to a courtyard that's next to the factory. The Gemara asks 6 lines from the bottom. We start out saying that you can't move at all, and then in the Seifa, you say that you can move it to a Chatzer. Amar Abaye, Seifa son, Abaye Sheba Chatzer. Abaye says, no, the Seifa is just coming to tell us that to a house, from a house to a Chatzer in that same area, that would be permissible. But to a Chatzer or a Chalka, that would not be acceptable. One is not allowed to bring utensils from a factory, as we learned in our Mishnah. Rava tested us by asking us the following question. Tanan, we learned in our Mishnah, but then we learned that there seemed to be a Tanaitic teaching that contradicted this, that says that you're allowed to bring it. And we answered, Kan Barba Osar Kan Mechalos Shel Moed. One Brisa was talking about Erev Pesach. When we're talking about Erev Pesach, so then in such a case, the halacha is that you can. However, by Chol HaMoed, it's prohibited. Iba Yisem, or another teretz that could be given, Hava Bechalos Shel Moed, Kan B'Mamino, Kan B'She'eno M'mino. We're talking about an instance where a person paid the worker, and it's a worker that he trusts, and there's no reason that he's afraid that the worker is going to come and ask for money again, and therefore there's no need to take his utensils. However, where he doesn't trust him, then in such a case, he needs to take his utensils, because if he's not, then he has no leverage over the uman asking him for payment a second time. Asks the Gemara on the top of Amud Beis, in Amud Beis, Vatanya, but then we learn Mevi and Ken Beis Uman, that you're allowed to bring utensils from a factory, kagoin, kad, maybe, if you're talking about someone who makes a barrel, mibes hakador, so then he brings a utensils that are connected to making a barrel. The kois, mibes hazagog, and a person who makes glass utensils, that's also acceptable. Why are those things acceptable? Explains Rashi on the first line on your Gimel Beis, because those things are Letzarech HaMoed. Avalot Sem Rebeis HaTzeva, but you can't bring wool, because that's not Tzarech HaMoed. V'lokei L'mibisa Uman. And not other utensils. V'me'en lo ma'i ochel, and if we're talking about a worker who does not have food to eat, Nos lo scharo, u'meniach etzlo, u'menicho etzlo. You could pay him, And then, if you're concerned he's going to collect the money again, you could hold on to his utensils. That's a case of Einam Aminu. V'Einam Aminu, V'Nichov Baisa Samachlo. V'Mchoshesh Lehem She'im Yignuvu. And if you're afraid that it's going to be stolen, V'Vim B'Tzinah B'Soch Baisa, then you're even allowed to bring it into the house. What's the kasha? We see that the Braisa is Mechale between Mamino Le'Einam Aminu. And when it comes to Einam Aminu, you're allowed to bring the Kalim from the Beis HaUma. This is a kasha on the first teretz and a raya to the second teretz. That the second teretz taught us that Einam Aminu you're allowed to bring the Kalim to hold on to him as a form of collateral, and that's exactly what this Braisa seems to say. The Gemara just has a problem. Teratz da Mevin. You explain the stira of Mevin, that we had a stira between the two things about whether you're allowed to bring molichin kasha, but there is still a kasha about taking to another place. The ketani ein mevin v'kol shekein she molichin, that you're not allowed to bring. Certainly, you're not allowed to take away because it's considered shalol tzarich hamoy. Now molichin is going to be more difficult. Explains Rashi that we're not going to be able to give the teretz of Einam Aminu, because Einam Aminu is when you thereby you don't trust him and you bring his utensils to you. So that's Mevin. But what would be Malichin? So hence the Gemara says Kasha. So that's going to be Shver. Ela Mechaver Tikadashini Meikar, but we need to give the original answer, and that is that one Braisa talking about Erev Pesach. And when it comes to Erev Pesach, there we're going to be lenient. However, when it comes to Chol HaMoed, even though there isn't a malacha, nevertheless, because it's tircha, we'll have to be more machmir on Chol HaMoed. So Gemara concludes that the distinction between Mamino and Einu Mamino does not work as described in Rashi Dibar Maschil Malichin. Our Mishnah continues the topic of other examples of things that are permissible on Chol HaMoed because it's a davar aved. Mechapin es haktzios bekash. Those figs that were sitting out in the field or even on the roof that they were baking in the sun, but now they need to be covered. You're allowed to cover them with straw. Rabbi Yehuda Amar af me'abin. It's not so clear what the word me'abin means, and the Gemara will discuss it. Mechre psus, peiros, excuse me, ksus v'kelim. Those who are peddlers of fruits, of clothing, other objects, mochrim b'tzina l'tzarech hamoed, you're allowed to sell it in a quiet manner. Less Rashi explains that people think that you're doing commerce shelo l'tzarech hamoed, not for the moed, you're allowed to sell things l'tzarech hamoed. Hatzayedin, the trappers, v'adishashos, those who crush wheat into small pieces of grain, v'agrosos, those who crush legumes. Osim bitzinel etzarech moed. It's allowed to again to be done bitzinel etzarech moed. Rabbi Yossi Omer he mechmiru al atzman. Rabbi Yossi says they were machmir on themselves not to do malacha at all. That's what the custom that had become in Rabbi Yossi's time. Bar begins seven lines before the wide on Yud Gimel Mablaz. Pligi bar Rabbi Chia bar Rabbi Rabbi Yossi. V'tarai mishmei du chizkiya Rabbi Yochanan. Chad Omer, one explained mechapin aklushi. Mechapin refers to putting a weak covering onto the figs that we mentioned before. Uma'abin asmuchi means you somech a lot. You put a lot of branches or hay on top to protect the dates. V'chadomer mechapin bein aklushi bein asmuchi refers to whether it's thick or thin covering that you put there. Uma'abin oisa oisa kimin kri, that you gather together the figs into a big pile. By gathering them into a big pile, then that's ma'abin, and that could be done as well as described in our Mishnah according to Rabbi Yehuda. We learn, continues on the first wide line, when we learn that Rabbi Yossi says that they were machmer on themselves. What exactly does it mean that they were machmer themselves? Does it mean that they didn't sell at all, that these artisans didn't work at all, let's say they're the peddlers, they didn't peddle at all, or they're the dashashos and the tzaydin, that they didn't do that at all. They did it, but they only did it b'tzinah, even though it was a tzarech moed. Tashma, come here, I'll give you a proof. They're the ones who did it b'tzinah. Yosi omer tagri tveri yehenech mir latzon shel yom mochrin kol ikur, that the merchants in Tveria didn't sell at all. Sadei chayes loves the dogin sadei b'tzinah tzarech moed. They would do it l'tzarech moed. And again, Rabbi Yosi omer tzadei akko, the trappers of akko yehenech mir latzon shel yom mochrin kol ikur. They didn't trap at all. The shushe chilka targi v'tisani, these different types of grains, and again, Rabbi Yossi Omer, the ones at Tzipori, they were machmir themselves, that they didn't do this at all. What are these words, chilka, targis, and tisni? That's when they would break up a grain of wheat, a piece of grain, into two. Targis, chadil tas, into three pieces of it. Chadil arba, and tisani was one into four. Yes, Rav Dimi, amr kunta. That the explanation of chilka is kunta, which was something that Mefarshim say was soaked in water. Meisive, the Gemara asks on this explanation of Rav Dimi, chilka tirgis v'tisani, tmei michal makam, they can contract tuma, because they had to have been soaked in water, and they're definitely going to been items that were already mukshar the kabel tumen. Analyzes the gemara. Bishlei madam echadu tatil tatzal arba. If you say it was cut up into one into two, or one into three, or one into four pieces, mishum hachik pei mechal machum diskasher. Then I understand. Elamand amar kunta, but according to the amar that means kunta, amai tmei mechal machum halo iskasher. If you're not going to divide it, then the kunta does not need to be soaked in water. Even though we mentioned above it could be soaked in water, doesn't have to be. If it's going to be smashed, the Mefarshim explained, then it would have to be soaked in water, and then it's automatically tummy. But if you say it's kunta, why is it why it wasn't necessarily mukshar? Says the Gemara, kiva de miklafan. Since they would take off the shells, it also needs to be soaked in water, because if not, you wouldn't be able to peel off the shell. Why is it called chilka when it's divided in half? Excuse me, I need to clarify. Why is it called chilka if it's not cut in half and it's only its peel is removed? When you take off the peel, then in such a case, it's considered as if a part of it was removed. Meisive, the Gemara asks another question on Rav Dimi. Rav Dimi, who said the definition is kunta, hanodim min adagon, also after the pola mitzri. So makes a neder, it's prohibited to have even from a legume that's called a pola mitzri, yavish, if it's dry. Umutar balachim, and it's permissible if it is moist, because it's when it's moist, it's never put with the rest of the grains. Umutar bayers is also permissible with rice, because rice is not one of the chamishas mine dagam, b'chilka v'targis v'tisani, as well as those things that we mentioned before, chilka v'targis v'tisani. Bishlein mandamar, I understand according to the mandamar, chadol targi, chadol tasu, chadol arbo, shapir, denachlu v'targis dagam, if you break it up, it's no longer dagam. El mandamar kunta, but the mandamar who says that it is kunta, and that is kosemes, which is one of the five types of grains, dagam alyu, kasha. That is a strong kasha of Divi's pshat. So ultimately, the Gemara seems to reject Rav Dimi's pshat of being a kunta, which is also kosemes, which might be translated as spelt. This pshat of Rav Dimi is rejected. Rav Huna, shara luhu lahane krupaisa, lemeza lizabuni, yurchayu v'shuka. He allowed people to sell spices in the way that they normally did during the week. Eisver of Kahana. And Rav Kahana asked on this, Chanus psucha l'stav, poseach v'nel kedarka. If you have a store that's open to a quiet area, that's a stav, so then in such a case it could open up in its normal way. But psucha l'rishus harabim, if it normally opens to a public thoroughfare, since it's chalim moed, they needed a heker to show that's only tzarech moed. So then poseach echad v'nel echad. Also, the Brisa says, "Ve'erv Yom Tov Achron Shalchag and Erev Shmini Atzeres Moitzi D'Me'ater Ashuke Yir BePeres B'Shvil Kvod Yom Tov Achron." That they would open up everything and they would allow everyone to sell the beautiful fruits in order to show how important and how special Shmini Atzeres is. So the Gemara deduces, "Pnei Kvod Yom Tov Achron In Shlo Pnei Kvod Yom Tov Lo," only because of Kvod Yom Tov Achron. But Shloma Pnei Kvod Yom Tov, you can't open the entire way. So how did they allow those who sell the spices to sell Kirchusar B'Shuk? Loi Kasha says, Gemara Hava Piri Hava Tavlin. Depends on whether we're talking about spices or we're talking about fruits. If we're talking about fruits, Rashi says, then we're afraid that people are going to buy for non-Yom Tov, and therefore we need to make particular Hekeri. However, when it comes to spices, then it's obvious that people are only buying Litzarech Moed, and people will not buy for anything but Litzarech Moed, because these types of spices did not last very, very long. And therefore, the only incentive a person would have is to buy the spices for a short period of time. It seems like the fruits and the spices have changed a lot. Fruits by us tend to spoil. Spices that we buy in jars tend to stick around a long time. But in time of Chazal, the peros were different, and the tavlin were different as well. This Be'ezer Hashem concludes Daf Yud Gimel in Maseches Moed Katan. I don't think I'll be able to do the halacha from the daily daf with you for Daf Yud Gimel. Mirtz Hashem, we're excited. We're going back to Arzeinu Hakdosha, Teretz Yisrael. Mirtz Hashem also will have the daf count again when I get back to my Sfarim in Eretz Yisrael. And I'm looking forward, when we're close and when we're far, to continue to learn the best we can of Shas together. For a quick summary of today's daf, we discussed the halachos of Dover Ha'aved, that one is allowed to be matriach for a Dover Ha'aved on Chol HaMoed. That includes bringing in one's fruits on Chol HaMoed. The Gemara on the top of Gimel Amud Aleph discusses somebody who violated the Din Derabbanan and set up a situation of hefsek by leaving his fruits out or leaving his flax in the water, where normally we say then he's not allowed to do tircha. What happens if that person dies? Could his son then do the tircha in the case of a hefsek, where the son is going to have a loss? And the Gemara concludes that one can. The Gemara gave examples of shvius and bechar. Then we had the discussion of purchasing litzarech moed, as well as purchasing from those who are in need, people who don't have food to eat. And the Gemara discusses as well that one, it seems from the conclusion of the Gemara, that one could also employ a worker on Chol HaMoed to do malacha, even malacha that's normally prohibited, if he's in need of food. Then we had on the bottom Mishnah Gimel Amud Aleph the prohibition of moving things unnecessarily from one house to the next, as well as utensils. The Gemara discusses a couple of exceptions. The Gemara discusses, finally, on Amud Beis, the instance of buying and selling Litzarech HaMoed, and that there were people who accepted upon themselves not to do any buying and selling Yom Tov, even that which is permissible. And finally, our daf concluded that one does not need to make a shinui in the selling if it's a material that's only being sold Litzarech HaMoed. Hadron Alach Mishahafach, Baruch Hashem, we finished the second perek in Maseches Moed Katan.